Welcome to the Gifters Podcast. I'm your host, Christopher Kai. This podcast is sponsored by the GPS Online Program, which teaches you how to turn your story into a successful speaking and online coaching business. For more information, go to ChristopherKai.com. Our guest today is Sandra Spielberg. She's the founder and CEO of AdNexi and the author of New Startup Mindset. Sandra, welcome to our podcast.
Thank you, Chris. I'm so happy to be on this with you.
So you have a very inspiring story. I always, again, love to talk to our guests just a little bit before our podcast. So just briefly walk us through where you came from and where you are now, because I think that would really inspire our guests.
Yes, I'd love to do that. So I was born in Uruguay in South America to a family of basically Holocaust escapees is the best way to
what does that mean? Holocaust
that.
What?
Escapees, people who escaped the Holocaust. Oh, wow. Yes, they escaped the Holocaust. They went to Uruguay, to this country that no one had ever heard of, in search of a good life with peace. And so there, you know, my dad had a business. He had a hardware store and a carpentry store. My mom worked at a bank. And I grew up in this, like, you know, very middle class, barely middle class family, really a lot of work ethic, a lot of education is really important. Hard work is really important. Showing up is really important. And then when I was 16 years old, my dad decided that we should take this lottery ticket that basically we won in terms of immigrating to the United States of America. And we came to Brooklyn, New York at first. And I say sort of lottery ticket in sort of quotation marks, because life was really hard in Brooklyn, New York. I was 16 years old. I was moving to a country I'd never seen. You know, when I first landed, it was freezing cold. My parents didn't have jobs. You know, we were super poor. And but you know what? That was like a really defining moment for me, because it was sort of like, well, am I going to stay in this place, or am I going to try to fight my way out of this, right? And of course, I decided to do the second, get educated, you know, and start working the jobs that were available to me. So first went to Pace University, studied accounting, ended up working on Wall Street for a couple of years, then went to get my MBA at Wharton. And then from then on, I entered the biopharmaceutical industry, and I wanted to be a part of the biopharmaceutical industry because I thought that the products that we were working on were really important to people, right? We were working on bringing treatments to people that have serious diseases. And I worked in that industry for a very long time, about 15 years, and I noticed that I was going to smaller and smaller companies, right? I had started at Johnson & Johnson, you know, with hundreds of thousands of employees, and then ended up working at this tiny startup with 8 employees. And through that process, 2 things happened. One was that I realized that there were huge issues to fix in the industry that could be fixed with technology. And then 2, what ended up happening was that I became more and more empowered to think that I was the person that should start a company to fix these problems. And of course, long story short, right, I ended up creating this company called Seeker Health. Seeker Health is a patient finding platform, is part of the digital health industry. And we use technology to help biopharmaceutical companies find and connect with the patients that they needed to bring new drugs, new treatments to market, right? They have to conduct clinical trials, and we would help them find those patients that might want to participate in that clinical trial.
You know, I literally saw a Shark Tank episode that had that very business model, where he was saying that a lot of pharmaceutical companies need to find patients to essentially trial their drugs. Is that true? Like Seeker Health? Is that kind of what you did?
That is basically what we did. We helped the biopharmaceutical companies enroll their clinical trials and find patients. We chose to operate in a part of the market, and that part was the part that was growing the fastest, which is those patients that had rare diseases or had cancer. And that was where the industry in general was bringing the most new treatments to market.
Interesting. So I don't want to, because this is a great story, but I want to really let our listeners know, where were some of the turning points? Because the reason why I laughed about Brooklyn, by the way, where did you grow up in Brooklyn? Or where did you land in Brooklyn?
In Brighton Beach.
Yeah. So, because I'm from New York too, that's why I laugh, because it's not an easy thing when you come here in the, I think the early 90s, where it's not how New York City is now. New York is much nicer now, but there's a lot of pockets of places in Brooklyn or Queens or Manhattan. But what I'm saying is, you went from, again, Uruguay to another country, and you're in a field that it's not like it's easy to get into tech and gene and techs and all this stuff. So I'm curious, did you always have this sense of ambition where you're not really going to the shabby schools or working at these companies that no one knows, meaning you worked at JP Morgan and Johnson & Johnson, even put it in your LinkedIn, but literally Citibank and JP Morgan and went to Warren. So I don't want to gloss over all your various accomplishments, whether educationally or your journey. So I'm curious, do you feel that was an innate thing you had, or your parents were there to support you? I want to really help our guests understand how they can perhaps have a similar success mindset.
Yes. I think I love that question. And I think it's a three-part answer. The first part is that, yes, my parents, my family of origin, I believe played a huge role, because they were all really hardworking people. And they really believe that in this sort of like this concept of upward mobility, that where you are today is not your final destination. You could always find a way to embed yourself. And that education was a part of that, right? The second part was the circumstances. When I came to Brooklyn, New York, it was really shocking for me. I really didn't want to live like that for the rest of my life. And I was willing to basically do anything that it took, right, to retool myself, to empower myself, to access a better life for myself and for my eventual family. And then the third part is absolutely innate. I feel that there is this sort of this like light inside of me that wants to make my time on this planet valuable. I want to be a valuable person, right? Whatever that means, right? It doesn't mean that whatever I construct needs to be, you know, like we discussed, a unicorn, or needs to affect billions of people, but in whichever way I can make a difference and I can bring value, I feel that that light shines very brightly inside of me, and that propels me forward to try to be better, to try to, you know, educate myself, empower myself, and then create the things that I can create because of the circumstances that I've lived.
No, that's great, because frankly, a lot of people don't have role models, don't have mentors that aspire to, like in your case, your family. And I love the fact that you're doing it. You know, like some people, they read a book or read a few books and say, hey, yeah, this is how you do it. Whereas like, let's say in my case, I help people become speakers. I've been doing this for 20 years. I didn't just read some random books. So I love how you are really in the trenches and rose to the ranks. Now, going back to your book, we only have a few minutes left, but the great thing about the startup world and the mindset, so much of that applies to anything in life, frankly. So with your book, The New Startup Mindset, how did you go about writing it? Is it like a 10 steps or two things, or how do you go about sharing that mindset for your
readers? Yes. Absolutely. I think there are two key pieces to the book. One, there are seven myths that a lot of entrepreneurs have in their head, and they become these limiting beliefs, right? So a few of those seven myths are things like unicorn or nothing, that unless you're building a unicorn, then you and your company are nothing. And really, nothing could be further from the truth. You can have a great company that makes a very significant impact and is not a unicorn, right? And there are other myths like that that I help entrepreneurs come to see so that they can dispel them. And then the second piece of the book is to talk about 10 mindset shifts. And they're shifts because generally society, the culture, Silicon Valley in particular, might send us in a different direction. And so what I'm asking people to consider shifting is, for example, the first chapter is beginner's mindset, right? This fact that you don't need to know everything about how to start your company, how to build your company, how to exit your company when you start it, right? The road will show you the way, right? And so, of course, you're going to bring some expertise, you're going to bring some connections, but you don't need to bring all of it. You don't need to wait to acquire something inside or outside of you in order to begin. So that's an example of one of the 10 mindset shifts that I describe in the book.
So I'm fascinated. You had this company for about 4 years. And so when you started it, at least in, again, LinkedIn says November of 2015. So when you started it, usually, I mean, did you have an idea? Because they generally ask you to have an understanding of an exit or who might want to buy you, right? So when you first started your company, did you have those things again, thinking about the end in mind? Did you have that when you first started your Seeker Health business?
When I started Seeker Health, what I had in mind was the vision of what I wanted to create. And I wanted to create this end-to-end platform that would help Biopharmaceutical companies connect with the patients that could be really good candidates for the clinical trials. Why? Because once those clinical trials get completed, then those treatments come to market and hopefully those patients could live better lives assisted by those treatments, right? So that was the vision. I didn't quite in the beginning have this vision that I would, you know, have acquisition offers and that I would entertain them. That became more prominent in year three once that started happening. But you know, the first few years I was more like my head was like down and just I was building and I was, you know, hiring the people and building the product. And it was more a focus on what I wanted to create, what I wanted to bring to reality.
Now, that's great. Sandra, thanks so much for being on our podcast today. How can our guests read your book and connect with you?
Yes, the book is available everywhere where books are sold. So Amazon, Barnes & Noble, anywhere online on all formats. And my website is sandraspielberg.com.
Great, Sandra. Thanks so much for your time. Have a great day.
Thank you, Chris.
Thank you for listening to the Gifters Podcast. If you want to learn how to turn your story into a successful speaking and online coaching business, go to christopherkai.com to learn more.